this week on the Century 360, the third head coach of RMU football started his season in Dayton, Ohio, and the home opener against Virginia State University. The fire alarm in Salem Hall has went off multiple times since students have moved in. We talk to students about how they feel about the constant interruptions. Coach Menard Clark is the third head coach of RMU football after John Banzak, who resigned after last season. Coach Clark started his season in Dayton, Ohio last Saturday, but Robert Morris won't get to see the Colonials play until this Saturday in their home opener against Virginia State University. I sat down with Sam Anthony, the former sports editor of RMU Century Media, to discuss the new Colonials team.
I'm proud to introduce to you RMU's new football head coach, Bernard Clark Jr. And that's where people make a mistake. Well, I'm not here to build a football team. I'm here to build a program. I'm not looking to get it going and leave in 2 years. I'm looking to build a football program, and that's going to be my wife. Basically, and I get this from Dr. Howard, we're going to teach these guys how to tie their shoes and how to put their socks on. We're going to be teachers of the game. We're going to teach basic fundamentals or anything else. Teach you how to tackle properly, how to step with the right footwork. Everything is important, but it's more about technique. It's not about scheme. It's not about what we're going to do on offense or what we're going to do on defense. Those things are important.
I'm here with Sam Anthony, the former sports editor of RMU Century Media, now the editor-in-chief. Sam Anthony has followed the RMU football coach Banzak, who resigned last year, and has followed the hiring of Coach Menard Clark since the spring. Sam Anthony, how are you?
I'm good, Malik. How are you?
I'm good. To start off, let's talk about the hiring of Coach Clark and just kind of the differences between Clark and Banzak. What was surprising about hiring Coach Clark?
That's hard because the way Robert Morris operates is very under wraps, which I understand. It makes sense, especially when it comes to hiring a new coach. One of the rumors that came out was that they were going to hire this high school coach from, I believe it was West Allegheny, which to me just kind of felt like a weak hire. I know that he's a very accomplished coach in the Whippeel, but what really stuck out to me about hiring Coach Clark was it seems like they were looking for more than just a football pedigree, but they were looking for a value system, which is good, which is impressive by Athletic Director Coleman, by Dr. Howard, who I'm sure was involved in some way through this process, through everyone in the athletic department, to kind of have an understanding that there needed to be an entire culture change at Robert Morris beyond just getting a new guy. I think that they came in and they were like, look, what are you going to do? But I think they were also looking for a commitment level where I believe that if things go well, Bernard Clark's going to be a guy you see at Robert Morris for the next 10 years, that this is going to be his team and he's not going to be trying to look to move up to, you know, an FBS school or a bigger school. I think that that was another big thing that they looked at in Coach Clark. And that... it did. It legitimately surprised me, not in a bad way, but in a good way, that they were looking for all these things rather than, you know, just a guy with a good resume. And don't get me wrong, Clark has a phenomenal resume, not only as a former player, but all the places he's coached. But he clearly came in with a plan and an image and an idea of what he wanted to do. And this has been the end game for Clark. Listening to Clark talk and seeing the way he handles himself and seeing how he's bounced around from place to place to place over the years, it's clear this has been the dream. The goal is to be a head coach of a football team. And because of that, I believe that the players respect him because he's somebody that really wants to be there and also really worked hard to be there. And I think you got to respect Coach Clark for that because it really is hard to get to this point. And you not only have to be a great football coach, but you have to understand how to work with kids and people and make other people better. So the fact that they found him on this nationwide coaching search, I feel like is the most impressive thing about that and the most shocking thing about that.
He came from Albany. He was the defensive coach. What was the defense like at Albany?
It was the seventh best defense in the nation. Not only were they good, they were phenomenal. And Albany's in a much better conference. They actually used to be in the NEC. Surprise, surprise. They were really good in the NEC before they got out. But they were dominant. And you have to believe that he was a really, really, really big part of that. And the big thing that people were really upset about when they first saw that Clark got hired, they were like, oh, we got a defensive coach hired. Why would we get a defensive coach hired? Our defense is already so good. We need a guy that can make our offense better. What the heck? But I really don't think that they were looking at how great his defense was and how great his offense was. Those are really great PR things to share with people because they get people excited about it and they go, oh, he was good before. I think that they were like, who are you going to bring in? What are you going to do to make this team as a whole better? And again, he brought in a lot of guys from Albany. He brought in a lot of guys from all over the place. And he had an idea of who he wanted on that staff. So to me, and again, the defense was great, but in my opinion, that didn't matter. That wasn't what they were looking at all.
Thank you, Sam. You went to the spring ball game. Explain to me what spring ball is exactly.
So spring ball is a span of 4 weeks that they bring the team back before the end of the semester, before everyone goes away for the summer and does their own thing. One, to kind of get a feel for the condition and the shape that these guys are in, but also to get some practice in, get the mindset going, because again, what's great about spring ball is you have to remember these guys haven't played a snap of football since November. So it's almost like a preseason to the preseason. It's important in the fact that you're getting your first look at what this team's going to look like, you know, following the departure of all their seniors, you know, people who were starters last year. Robert Morris, the big thing was the departure of Andy Smaguerra. He was a guy that actually ended up making the Arizona Cardinals minicamp. He unfortunately did not get signed to the team, but was a really great asset to that team anyway. Spring ball for Robert Morris this year was more about the new head coach and the new coaching staff entirely, because what happened was not only was John Banaszak fired, but nearly every coach on that staff. I believe that the only remaining coaches on that Robert Morris team, I believe that the only remaining coaches on that Robert Morris team were at that time, I believe, Nick McVay and Lerod Stevens-Howling. Besides that, brand new offensive coordinator, brand new defensive coordinator, pretty much everything in between was brand new. So not only were you looking at, you know, what the players were going to look like, but what this team as a whole was going to look like. And so for me personally, it was exciting. And it was different because it's something you don't see necessarily very often, especially, you know, not just a new head coach, but an entire staff as a whole. So it was almost like a different team because of that.
Going back to spring ball, what did you see during the spring ball, I guess, game? What did you see that initially, like, shocked you?
Well, being at spring games in the past, there was like a dysfunction to it. I've seen fights at spring games in years past, and it wasn't like that this year. And to me, the biggest difference was the crowd. I mean, this crowd was as big as a regular game. And that, again, attests to Coach Clark really being like, hey, this is something new, this is exciting, you're going to want to come see. I mean, it was recruits, it was parents of recruits, it was fans, and it was loud, and there was music going. To me, the most impactful scene from that spring game was when Coach Clark was speaking to the team before they went out and played. And it was all the players, every member of the press that was there, shooting video, taking photos. And it was amazing because, I mean, it was completely silent in that huddle. All eyes on Coach Clark. It was this full respect. He had complete command of this team, and it was sending a message. It was, you know what, this is our first chance to show everyone what we can be as Colonials. And they came out and they showed it. To me, it's always been this disconnect between the offense and the defense, and the defense has traditionally been one of the better in the country, while the offense has been one of the worst. And you can feel the divide between those two parts of the team. And what they've done really well, and what you could see right off the bat, was the fact that it was one unit, and even the way the offense operated was just better.
How?
Ball movement, the way there was this fluidity. I feel like what they did really well was Bernard Clark really enabled his players who are leaders to lead. Guys like Jimmy Walker. I think a big reason Jimmy Walker got the starting gig was because there's a level of maturity. I think Jimmy Walker understands what it's like to be a winner. I think Jimmy Walker understands that it comes down to more than his performance. It's the people around him. It's the players around him. And him and a guy like Eric McAllister on that offense, Eric McAllister is the starting center. I think that those guys are enabled by Coach Clark, and they make everyone else around them better. And I think Clark has an understanding. I think he's intelligent enough to know that, you know, sometimes there's some points and there's some lessons that a coach can't get across, that you need players that you can trust to really help also be coaches on the team. And I think that was kind of the main difference. Was it always felt like if the offense made progress in past years, it was kind of like luck, or, you know, it was like a relief. Like, thank goodness, you know, Arm, you got a first down. To me, there's like an expectation. There's like a control. And you, if you're watching it, you feel like Robert Morris actually knows. This sounds really terrible, but they know what they're doing. It's a trust thing. And I think that just the feeling of being, and, you know, we can talk about more of that when we talk about Dayton, but the feeling is different about everything. It's almost indescribable, the difference between the Banaszak era and the Clark era after, you know, 1 week of football and even in the spring.
Now, what's interesting is you also worked for the equipment staff under Coach Manzak. So you saw the team at practice and just kind of the things that a normal Colonial fan wouldn't see. What has been different at the practices between the two coaches?
To me, it's the energy and the intensity. And that's what I love so much about Coach Clark, and why I really do believe that he's going to bring a lot of great changes to Robert Morris. Is one of the first things that I noticed naturally is Coach Clark plays music throughout practice. So through the speakers of Joe Walton Stadium, you have, I mean, any kind of music you can imagine. I think it's based on the preferences of the team and the coaches, players. What's really exciting about that is it's just this energy. You know, the music's bumping, it's loud, players are getting into it, and it's also just the hustle and the intensity. You're running from play to play, from drill to drill. There's no in-between, and it feels like there's a purpose to everything. I'm not saying there wasn't a purpose to what John Banaszak and his coaching staff did, but the purpose is more clear and it's more transparent. And same with even the way the press and the media get access, is it's more open, whereas Coach Clark really wants everyone to see what he's doing and what this staff is doing, what this team is doing. And I think it makes the players excited about it, because they feel like instead of, you know, this team that's traditionally been scrutinized and really not supported because they've won one conference title since 2000. So to me as a whole, the excitement of not only the practices but the players is at this whole new level.
Well, let's talk about Dayton. You traveled to Dayton for the first game. The Colonials lost 42-21.
49-28. You were close.
Okay. Let's talk about the game.
Okay. So what do you want to know about the game?
What were your expectations coming into this game?
My expectations were high. And I've talked to people both on the team and fans of the team. And really, there's never been this much excitement going into a game. Last year, Robert Morris beat Dayton for the first time in 17 years. It was a defensive battle. And Nick Bisseglie had a 28-yard kick with 4 seconds left to get them the win. And so you knew Dayton was going to come, and they were not going to lose again, because, again, Robert Morris all-time is 3-17 against Dayton. This is a game every year Dayton expects to win. But the expectations were high for Robert Morris just because it was this new era. Anything was possible. They've been, again, very open about what they've been doing as a team. So just being there and feeling the energy, you knew there was something different. So those were my expectations were high. I didn't expect Robert Morris to come and win. Dayton's an impressive team. If we're going to talk about how great Dayton is, you have a guy like Tucker Ynger. Tucker Ynger is a senior, and he's been a phenomenal running back on that team. He was all conference preseason for them this year. You have their quarterback, Alex Jeske. He's a fifth-year senior. He didn't play last year when Robert Morris beat him, and that was a really big reason that Robert Morris was able to stay in that game and win, because Jeske is a phenomenal quarterback. And alongside that, they have a really solid defense as well. Dayton's projected to finish second in the Pioneer League this year. They're a good team. So my expectations were that if Robert Morris was going to win, they needed to hang in until the fourth quarter. They could keep it close until the fourth quarter. I believe that Robert Morris would win the game.
And they didn't at all.
It's complicated because the first drive, Dayton comes down, and huge play. Tucker Ynger, 44-yard run. And bam, you know, minute and a half, Dayton's on the scoreboard, and you're sitting here going, oh, all right, like, here we go. To me, the next drive speaks volumes for how I believe this season's going to go, because traditionally, and again, this is from my experience covering the team, my experience working on the team, when Robert Morris gets a deficit or a big play like that happens, the energy is low, and it's kind of like they've already lost, and there's still a whole game left to be played. And that's not at all what happened. Robert Morris went right down, and they scored. And they hit Matthew Gonzalez with a really great pass from Jimmy Walker. It was a great drive all around, because it wasn't just they went down and it was really easy to score. It was big third down conversions. It was muscle runs by Terrence Stevens. It was a total team effort to go and score that touchdown. And to me, the obstacles they overcame in that drive show me that they're a team that's different, and they're a team that's capable of handling deficits, handling situations that you can see Robert Morris down and you don't necessarily believe they're out, which is completely different from what's been in the past.
On Saturday, they play Virginia State. What are the expectations going into this game?
So Virginia State is Division II. So that's important to know that they're another tier below Robert Morris. So the expectations traditionally for these games is that it's supposed to be, you know, a very easy win, kind of a tune-up game, because Robert Morris plays the second-best team in the nation, James Madison, the following week. So I believe that the intention of scheduling this game was to iron out some stuff, get some confidence, go into that. Now, traditionally, in the last 3 years, Robert Morris has played three Division II opponents, or non-Division I opponents, if we want to be more specific. And they've outscored them by an average of 2 points, one of which was a loss to Alderson Broaddus, 14-7, 2 years ago. And they've, on average, been outgained by almost 100 yards. So traditionally, these haven't been easy gimme wins for the Colonials. Personally, I believe this year's going to be different. And again, it goes back to the offense. Because the offense against Dayton on Saturday produced at its highest level since September 28, 2013 against VMI. And that's a really big deal, because Robert Morris hasn't seen passing like they have with Jimmy Walker in the past. They haven't seen an offensive line like it's been. They haven't seen consistent scoring drives like it has been in the past. If Robert Morris ever put up 28 points in a game, it was traditionally in the past couple years because the defense scored a touchdown, or special teams got a touchdown, or the defense forced a turnover and got offense in really good position, but there was a lot of yardage to go with it against a really good Dayton team. And if Robert Morris can put up 416 yards against Dayton, I have no doubt that they can exceed that against Virginia State. And my personal expectations, and I know a lot of people are kind of reserved in saying this because of the fact of what's happened in the past with these teams, I think Robert Morris will win by a sizable margin. And I can confidently say that they will win by a sizable margin, because that defense is better than they looked against Dayton. There's adjustments that need to be made. And that offense is going to continue to improve. It's not just going to be this stagnation of you see the same thing week in, week out. I think you will see that offense improve, because I think that's just the way this team's built. I think that if you're a Robert Morris football fan, if you're a fan of football, you should be at this game on Saturday, because it's going to be the start of a new era, and it's going to get people excited about Robert Morris football.
Okay, so on the field, what are the things that people want to look out for?
Look at the energy. I mean, just watching these guys react to plays, react on the sidelines. So they have this statue wolf. I believe it's a wolf or a fox. And I saw it on Saturday when they were playing Dayton. And it was actually carried out on the field by Jonathan Wannett, their fullback. And he was out there yelling, you know, we're hunting today. It's not going to be us. Not today. Because it's symbolic. But the energy, everyone's going to be celebrating every play. Everyone's going to be picking each other up when they fall. Everyone's going to be excited about everything that happens. If I'm a Robert Morris fan, what I'm looking out for is when it's just this next level intensity. I mean, I saw at Dayton, a prime example of that was the way Jimmy Walker played. Jimmy Walker, the thing that was really notable at Jimmy Walker's play last year was he got pummeled in the pocket. He was getting sacked and hit, and I mean, he beat up. And Jimmy Walker didn't really let that faze him this year. I mean, he was running. He ran for a touchdown. And it wasn't just an open field touchdown. He had to go through someone to get to that goal line. It's this intensity. It's this, you know, physical level of play that you just never got because the energy wasn't there. The competitiveness wasn't there. To me, it's just the way these guys are going to handle themselves on the sideline. One of the biggest moves Clark made not only was the names on the back of the jersey, you know, it was Clark saying, we're not only playing for the name on the front, we're playing for the name on the back. And the name on the back stands for family and you and everything you stand for and your values. But he also made the move to move the benches back on the home side. If you were at a game last year, you noticed that Robert Morris was actually across the field away from the home crowd. And the players wanted to feel like they were part of that home crowd, that they were with their people. And I think it's because Bernard Clark wants to create this environment that it's fun, but it's about the game. And you're doing this because you love football, and you're doing this because it's going to teach you these values. I mean, for Bernard Clark, one of the biggest things he's been trying to teach is this goes beyond football. You're supposed to be a better husband, better father, better man. And by teaching those values, he's basically saying, hey, the way you present yourself on the field, the way you present yourself when you go to compete every single day is how you're going to be for the rest of your life. So how do you want to present yourself? Who do you want to be? And I think the team's responded extremely well to that. And I think that's a really great mentality to have, especially with college kids. So to me, it's not even the play. It's just the way that all these guys hold themselves. And they're going to look like winners to me. You know, you can tell the difference between someone who believes they're going to win and someone who doesn't believe they're going to win.
For more coverage on Army football throughout the season, be sure to tune in to Colonial Sports Center Thursdays at 9:30 on armycenturymedia.com.
Man, do I love card night. You ready, boys? You got a king?
Go, Fish Dad!
Oh, come on!
This is WWE superstar Titus O'Neil.
It only takes a moment to make a moment.
Take time to be a dad today. Learn more at 877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
The fire alarms in one of the residence halls on campus has went off multiple times since students have moved in. Army Century Media reporter Jess Zaccarelli talked to students who lived in Salem Hall about how they felt about the constant interruptions to their day.
My name is Austin Ness.
Zachary Schneider.
Matthew Slavey.
Braden Hines.
How many times has the fire alarm gone off while you were in the building?
I think it's about 3 or 4 times.
So far, just twice.
Say two.
Twice.
Can you remember what you were doing while any of those fire alarms went off?
So the one time I literally just got out of the shower. Luckily it wasn't me that set it off, so that's good. The other time I was sleeping, and then the time before that I was just playing Fortnite.
The one time it was on Bobby Mania, and we just got back to the room and stuff, and everybody went outside at night, and then the next morning it went off as well. And it woke me up. It was like 8:30 in the morning, and I had class at like 11:30, so it woke me up before I wanted to get up. So it was real inconvenient.
Sleeping?
Both times?
Sleeping, I think, yeah, both times I was.
Sleeping and I think sitting in the living room for one of them.
What time has, like, the latest alarm gone off? Like, any, like, in the middle of the night or, like, super early in the morning?
So the latest was 11:30-ish, right after Bobby Mania.
Oh my God.
And then the earliest was 7:45, 8 o'clock, something like that, 7:30 maybe.
How would you describe your general feelings towards all the fire alarms going off?
I mean, at nighttime, that's fine because I'm awake anyway, so it wasn't that big of a deal. But the 8 a.m. one, I didn't have class until 12:30, something like that day. So that was kind of stressful, but I was all right.
It's really inconvenient, but they've made progress at trying to make things better by, you know, testing and things like that. So we haven't really had an issue in the last few days, so hopefully everything becomes better.
Constantly going.
Kind of annoying. Hopefully it gets fixed. I mean, I don't know if there is a way to fix it, though.
Have you heard any news about them trying to fix it?
Yeah, the CAs are talking about it.
Like you said, I think it's annoying.
It's just general.
Yeah. I mean, at least it's, like, safe, I guess.
Are there any indications? Have you guys been told what's been causing it?
So I've been told that the steam from the shower was one of them, since it's, like, right outside the door. And then apparently one of them, someone had a candle, but I can't validate that. That's just what I've been hearing. But it's mostly been the steam from the showers.
Okay. Thank you for your time.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you.
The Century 360 would be impossible without the help of RMU Century Media. For all of the stories this week and more, be sure to head to rmucenturymedia.com.